Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, Chase McCabe in today alongside Willie Donick, Nick Frazier here in the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Leagues Cup tomorrow, the final, Geodis Park, 8 o'clock. We say hello to Ben Wright, Broadway Sports Media, who has been nice enough to join us. Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. It's a crazy weekend here in Nashville, and I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think just for soccer in general in this city, what can this do to help build what I believe is a good fan base, but one that can always get bigger, because I think you've gotten more attention now with the best player, one of the best players in the sport, coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of things that are going for them here. First of all, it's in the summer. There's not a ton of other stuff going on sports-wise in Nashville. So I think in a lot of ways this has been kind of it for Nashville. You get teams like Club America and Monterey coming into town, who have some of the biggest followings on the continent. I mean, Club America is the most popular team in North America. So getting them into Nashville, getting Club America fans who live in Nashville to come into the stadium, just the TV product, I think it's brought a lot of eye to Nashville. And then now obviously you have Inter Miami and Lionel Messi, who's, I mean, not just the best player to ever have played the game, but he's the most popular athlete on the planet. I mean, it's going to be more eyes on Nashville SC than have ever been there before. And I think it's a huge, huge deal for them.
So when you look at Nashville SC and what it means for them and their season, obviously this is for the League's Cup, but they're going to play Miami again in a couple of weeks when the MLS schedule resumes. And, you know, I think they kind of needed a little bit of a spark. And I feel like now that they've made this run in this tournament, that potentially could help them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it feels like forever ago, but they were struggling before League's Cup started. They had won, I think, one of their last six games. They had games against Philly and Cincinnati right before the tournament started, both of whom are, I mean, two of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, both of whom are kind of rivals with Nashville, and they lost both of those. They had two players sent off in both of those games. I mean, they were struggling, and I think, I mean, maybe this League's Cup run hasn't surprised them, but it certainly surprised everybody else. And I think, obviously, getting to a final, having the potential to win a trophy is huge, but it's also huge for their regular season. When they come back, they'll have 10 games left in MLS before the playoffs kick off. And I think it's hard to look at this League's Cup run and say that it hasn't put them in a really good position to finish out the season strong, to climb up the table, and to put themselves in a really good spot come playoffs.
Ben Wright is with us. So, Ben, let's get a little perspective on this for you, because you're obviously a young analyst, reporter for this team. Did you grow up idolizing Messi? Where was Messi on your radar growing up as a soccer fan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been watching him since I was a kid. So, yeah, it's a little bit surreal to think that I'm going to be watching him in person tomorrow and getting to cover him, too. I mean, it's crazy, but I think there are plenty of people like me who just grew up watching him and did not think that there was ever a chance that you would see him come and play in America while he was still at a high level. I mean, we've seen players like that come kind of at the tail end of their career, on definitely kind of diminished product on the field. But Messi's coming off winning the World Cup, being the best player at the World Cup just 9 months ago. So, I mean, he's 36, but he's still kind of in his prime, and it's just a little bit surreal.
I can remember as a kid, Pelé, growing up in New York, I went to the Pelé soccer camp, and it was a little bit of the same thing, right? He was at the tail end of his career, but it was a huge, huge thing for the league back then to have somebody of his status playing there. So as you mentioned, Messi was so brilliant at the World Cup. Here he is. And so let's talk about the matchup. You know, this is Nashville SC against a team that wasn't doing very well in the MLS. They pick up one of the greatest players of all time. So what does that look like matchup-wise?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because no one in MLS has been able to stop them. They've scored, I think, 21 goals in six games. I think it was Taylor Twellman who said in their prior 22 games they had 22 goals. So they've just exploded offensively and really just rolled over every team that they've played. Dallas put up a good fight, but that was a 4-4 draw that Miami won in penalties. So, I mean, I don't know. Whatever you do, Messi will score and Miami will score. I think, though, for Nashville, they're the best defensive team that Miami will have played since Messi got there. I think they're pretty confident because they just came off a 2-0 win against Monterrey, who are probably the deepest and most talented team in North America. And sure, they don't have Messi, they don't have Busquets, they don't have Jordi Alba, but I think it's probably, you can make a strong case that Monterrey are a more complete team. So I think maybe from a Nashville perspective, they have a lot of confidence because they might be thinking that they just beat a better team than Miami. So I don't think they're going to back down. I think they're going to put up a much stronger defensive performance than Philadelphia did in their semifinal loss. Really, Philadelphia are one of the best defensive teams in MLS and beat themselves with just really uncharacteristic mistakes. It was almost like they were scared to play against Messi. They gave him so much time and space on the ball. And I just don't think we're going to see that from Nashville. I think they're going to play hard. They're not going to give him time and space on the ball. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores at least a goal, but I think with the form that Hany Mukhtar and Sam Surridge have been in, they can probably match them in the final third. So I think it's going to be a high scoring game, but a close game. And I think Nashville match up pretty well.
All right, Ben, you've seen all of the different dynamics at play here since this perfect storm came together. First, let's take it from the macro side. Messi joining the league and the television package through Apple TV, it's so driven by subscriptions. That's how, one of the reasons they did this. They want to broaden Apple TV's umbrella, I guess, and get more subscribers to the league. How do you think that has worked so far?
I think it's worked pretty well. I forget who reported it, but there are reports going around that they've doubled their total subscriber base since Messi joined. I mean, I forget how many followers he has on Instagram. It's like in the hundreds of millions, and he's putting out links to watch the Apple TV product before every game. He's getting a cut of the TV deal, which is pretty unheard of for an individual athlete to receive part of the league TV deal. I don't think that's ever happened before, but you can see the motivation. He's out there selling the product. It's a global deal too. It's not just for the US rights. It's for all over the world. So people from Argentina who just want to watch Messi play, they're tuning in. People all over the world who have watched him for the past 20 plus years are tuning in. So it's a much more global audience than I think MLS has had before. And I'm really interested to see how they capitalize on it because, Messi's going to be here for a few years. It's going to be great. But how do they take that momentum and kind of the Messi effect and grow from it and kind of keep up this momentum that the league has right now? I'm really interested to see what the next 5-10 years look like for MLS.
It's great knowing that perspective to set me up for this next question, because as we sit here in Nashville, you've got a new franchise that's off to a great start, and this is an unbelievable opportunity to maybe grow their own fan base locally. But there are some barriers when you have some casual fans saying, I don't really want to pay to watch games, and these tickets are astronomical. I can't go see the game. Some of their own fans have been almost priced out, basically have been priced out from being able to go to this, even though they may be season ticket holders on some level. So how have they tried to balance that? Have you had a chance to talk to some of the higher-ups in the organization about that dynamic?
I haven't had a chance to talk to them specifically about ticket prices because, as you can imagine, they are getting absolutely slammed with requests from everybody who covers soccer at any level. I will say, I think a lot of resellers got pretty ambitious and overestimated the market that they think people are gonna pay. They scooped up tickets early and tried to resell them at just astronomical prices. And there are lots of tickets still open, and the prices are dropping pretty consistently. I think there are some that they started out in the 300s. If I'm not mistaken, I think there are some tickets available at that or even lower now. I wouldn't be surprised if there's still open tickets tomorrow that are in the $100 to $200 range. So, I think there is a chance. I think a lot of fans were really discouraged initially and kind of maybe gave up on being able to get the gate. And I would just say, keep checking the ticket sites, keep looking. I think as it gets closer, you're going to see a lot of people who bought tickets and thought they could make a huge profit off them kind of getting desperate and dropping the prices just to get something back. So I think people are going to be able to get in the door for a lot cheaper than maybe we thought initially.
Ben Wright is with us from Broadway Sports Media. Ben, you've been at practice. What is the latest on Jacob Schaffelberg? He came off in the 17th minute against Monterrey. What's that top forward spot going to look like for them going up against Inter Miami this Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, I think, for Nashville heading into this this game. And Schaffelberg has been one of the better players in the whole tournament. He's toward the top of the assist charts. He's just been kind of electric. And I know Fafa Pico for Nashville came in and scored the goal. He has some of the same speed, but he's a pretty different player. So I think it's a huge question mark for them. The good news is Schaffelberg was the first player out on the field at training. He was doing some one-on-one drills with assistant coach Steve Guppy, and then he was doing a full participant in the team training. So I think he looked pretty good just from what I saw. We'll talk to Gary Smith later today around 4 o'clock and hope to get an official update from him. But just from training this morning, Schaffelberg looked good to go, and I would be surprised if he's not at least on the bench.
Okay. Well, my next question after that is, if that is the case, would you expect and anticipate possibly Fafa to start up top and then maybe do what they've been doing the last couple of games and bring Sam Surge on at halftime?
Yeah, so that's the other big question. If you start Sam Surge or if you go with Teal Bunbury, I'll take Fafa first because I think you've seen Schaffelberg and Pico kind of just interchange a lot. And I think there's a lot to like about having Pico play for 60 minutes or so. And then against the Miami defense that already leaves a decent amount of space in behind, bring on Jacob Schaffelberg for the last 20 or 30 minutes, I think that could bring a lot of success for Nashville. As far as Sam Surridge, the most he's played is 45 minutes so far. He's come on at halftime in their last two games. And I know there's a lot of people who really want him to start. I don't love the idea of having him available for 60 minutes and then needing a goal towards the end of the game and not having him available. I don't think Teal Bunbury is nearly as much of a threat in the final third. I mean, obviously no disrespect to him, but I mean, he's not a designated player. I like the idea of having Bunbury out there to start to try to just kind of hold things down and then again, bring Sam Surridge on at halftime because I think it's worked for them. And I think you're going to need to score goals. You're probably going to need to score goals late. And I think having your best players on towards the end of the game kind of makes more sense for this one.
Real quick, Ben, what's the latest with Joe Willis?
Yeah, so he had a personal emergency. He actually posted, I think, yesterday or the day before that his father-in-law passed away after a battle with cancer. Excuse me. So he was out of town, obviously, dealing with that during the Club America game. Came back and was available to play against Monterrey, but I think Panico did a really good job. Excuse me, it was actually the Minnesota game that he missed, but Panico did a really good job there. And I don't think he's done enough to lose the starting job. I would be surprised if Joe Willis starts. I think it's going to be a pretty close call, but Gary Smith kind of has a history of riding the hot hand, and Panico has kept back-to-back clean sheets and looked pretty solid. So I think he'll probably ride with him. It's a really interesting question, though, because Joe Willis has been the guy for 3.5 years. So it's a huge call to make.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we'll see tomorrow for sure. Ben, appreciate the time as always, and should be a fun one tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks for having me on.
Going to be awesome. Ben Wright, Broadway Sports Media, talking Nashville SC and the League Cup Championship, and Willie, tickets. I mean, that's kind of that's kind of the topic here.
I would love to hear from some people on our call or text line. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I would love to know what your experience has been. Depending on where your perspective, you could be a diehard fan who has opted in, but if you've been hunting down tickets, you just heard Ben with an interesting dynamic that maybe the secondary market was at one level and the demand maybe isn't quite as great as we thought, and maybe it's a little more reasonable than you thought. What has the ticket thing been like for you? I'd love to hear some different perspectives because I've seen online a lot of frustration, a lot of opinions on how they've done this, and this is such a big global thing more so than just like a local sports team thing, right? It's the challenge.
I mean, it feels like a Taylor Swift, like Aaron Stewart.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So let me hear your experience on this if you're going to be watching. And just for casual purposes here, Miami is pretty heavily favored in this game, even though it's at Nashville.
On Superbook Sports, Miami is getting even money. Nashville's plus 225.
That's regulation.
Regulation.
To lift the cup, it's like plus 150 for Nashville to lift the cup.
So not a huge underdog, but an underdog. Okay.
Yes.
615-737-1025. I want to hear your thoughts on this game tomorrow. And we did a vote earlier this week. More people, over half of our listeners that voted they're going to be watching this game over the Titans-Vikings, which would be surprising to some. But that's kind of the magnitude of this game that we're seeing. Probably the biggest soccer game that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
surprised.
And
we've had some pretty big games here. Yeah. But this is going to be the biggest.
Two TVs set up for me tomorrow.
Okay, so you get the games. Well, see, I've got to figure out how I'm getting these games. Because I got the DirecTV problem with Channel 2.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to probably leave my house to watch these games.
Yeah, I might go to the bar.
Are there sports bars that will have this? Because it is on the – you've got to subscribe, right?
Right, but a lot of the – so, like, with a lot of these streaming services now, they kind of work deals with DirecTV because a lot of the bars have DirecTV that they'll take it. So,
but do they get the Titans game?
No, I was talking to some people.
There were some bars locally that they didn't
– yeah, some have gone out and bought antennas. So they can, you put the rabbit ears up and do it that way. So that may be what you see for sure. But we'll take your calls and texts on that. 615-737-1025, 1025-1063 the game.